Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
The Lord commands that territories should praise Him. Now, there are some of us, by virtue of the grace that the Lord has given to us, we are not just entities, we are territories. Alright? We are territories. For instance, when you hear the name Yonggicho, what do you think of? South Korea. You think of the pastor of the largest congregation. His name is now synonymous with a level of impact. That also knowing also that man did not rise out of anything that was supposedly an advantage, but it grew until it became a territorial force. And there is no way God will give a territory to a man who thinks locally. You have to think globally. You have to think territories. There are demons that will not leave your life until you acquire territories. There are spirits that don't lose influence over your life until you grow and become a nation. The scripture said that when the patriarch dug a well, the enemies came, they filled it up. Then he dug another one and they filled it up. He dug another and they said, this man is too much for us. You must have what it takes to keep digging. You must have what it takes to stay on that field and say, this is what God said to me. Regardless of the opposition, I will keep digging. There are some of us who gave up because we met with opposition. Opposition is a sign that you're on the right path. If you are doing the wrong thing, Satan will encourage you in unrighteousness. If you are doing the wrong thing, Satan will encourage you. He will remove the problems. Oh yeah, be going. Free, no traffic. Lagos Ibadan Expressway, keep going straight. If no matter the speed at which you are flying or running, no matter how fast the car is going, if you're on the wrong path, you won't get to your destination. So God gives us, a particular posture. You see, there's something about posture. This is how, for those of you who are territorial powers, hear me. Listen to me, because I hope you know that principalities and powers not only exist on the negative side of the spiritual realm, but also on the righteous side of the spiritual. That's why you see Paul talking about, he said, whether they be thrones and dominions and princes. He said all these things exist for him, and for his pleasure. So you need to understand that for princes to exist on the demonic side, that means we have princes on the righteous side. And the Lord said, look, he said, I want you to praise me, all ye land. The moment you see land, God is talking about territories. He says, sing for the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Now, what is the Lord saying to us here? He's saying, when we begin to talk about territorial praise, when we begin to talk about securing the destiny of a family, when we begin to talk about taking back your family from the hands of Satan and satanic altars, because you see, many of us, our parents, oh my goodness, our parents innocently sold off. They sold off their families and their generations. Many times when they went to this man in the forest, and they said to Baba, give me something that will make me have a great harvest this year. Baba, can you do something for me so that my business can boom this year? Do you know that if you quantify what booming is, as at their time, 300 years ago, it may be 5,000 naira. 5,000 naira would have made you like a multi-millionaire in those days. I'm even being magnanimous, because in those days they used cowries. That thing, the value of that booming, maybe 1,000 naira. Alright, how much is a plot of land? Depending on where you go, you can even get land for free in Nigeria. And then when they ask Baba, what should we give you? Baba said, no, don't give me anything. The moment you hear that they said, don't give me anything, your bloodline is the price. Are you still here? I said, the moment you hear, no, it's a small miracle. When it happens, you can come and give me anything you like. When you hear that one, the price tag is your bloodline. Your children will pay. Your grandchildren will pay. They will not even know what they are paying for. You've got to be spiritual. You've got to have your eyes open. Listen to me. The problem is not even that we are dealing with this thing. The problem is that a lot of Christians do not know that they have the victory. That the blood of Jesus is enough. Come on, say the blood is enough. The blood is enough. We pled the blood on simple things. We pled it on our biros when we wanted to write exam. We didn't know that the blood had more useful functions. We pled it on our pillow. You borrowed your shirt or your dress to a lady in your hostel, and when the lady brought it back, you pled the blood on the... You are wasting this thing, bro. I God will help you. You are wasting. The blood has more useful functions. It has more territorial functions. Oh, the blood has the capacity to collect back the deed of assignment, the sea of O, for your family, your bloodline. The blood of Jesus is strong enough to release us from the curse that Adam and his wife put us into. That's how potent it is. The blood is not for pencil, it's not for biro. Get it done and dusted. We have principalities to deal with. Listen to me. The second verse said, praise, put up the second verse. I don't want to quote it out of context. He said, sing for the honor of his name and make his praise glorious. Let me tell you something about his name. There was a battle that happened in the realm of the spirit. If that account was not recorded, a lot of us would not have known that such a thing happened. There are things that have happened even in the spiritual realm that were not documented. But we are privileged to have some of these snippets and some of these stories here. We saw in the scriptures a battle that happened between Lucifer and Michael. And it was a battle. And I hope you know that in the spirit realm, battles are not fought. Come on, are you here? Battles are not fought the way we fight battles in the physical realm. Battles are fought with words. They are fought with words. That's why the prophet said, he said, the Lord has made my tongue like what? The pen of a ready writer. Do you know what a ready writer? A ready writer is that type of writer that is inspired. I don't know how many of you are gifted with writing. Sometimes you really don't know what you want to write about. You just have like maybe the main idea. You just pick your biro and you begin to write. By the time you read, look back at what, it's as though you are prophesying. Who knows what I'm talking about? You just write. It's as though the moment you may be blank until you hold the pen and you start writing, all of a sudden there seems to be an inspiration. So that is what the prophet was talking about. Having the tongue being prepared as the pen of a ready writer. So there was this battle in the realm of the spirit where Michael had to contend with Lucifer. And the battle prolonged. Please listen to me. Just because Angel Michael or Archangel Michael was sent into the battle, did not mean the battle will last for 1 minute. The battle persisted. Michael was unable to defeat Lucifer, an unrighteous, a fallen angel. He lacked the jurisdiction. He tried his best. He meant well. The same way some of us are praying. We mean well. We want our freedom. But for some reason, there seems to be some back and forth. You seem to get some breakthrough today. You sleep. Tomorrow they come, they press you. And then you hear people sharing their testimonies. They are saying, oh, after the service, this happened to me, that happened to me. And you, after the service, your major customer called you and said, I'm no more doing business with you. Some people, what their eyes have seen when it has to do with sharing testimony, they have sworn, I'll be thanking God in my bedroom. The last time I shared the testimony of breakthrough, 3 major clients stopped showing up. So, God, you know I'm grateful. I will pay my tithe. I will honor my pastor. But for whatever it is worth, I don't have energy to fight this battle again. What it took me to recover 2 of them back. Because the other one, the third one did not come back. Let us know in my heart that I am grateful. And you start rolling on. Before God says no, you start rolling on the floor. To convince him that you really mean your gratitude. Don't worry. It's your level. It's your level. When you upgrade, you will rise above that one. But let me tell you what happened to Michael. Michael fought with Lucifer. They contended for the body of Moses. And I can imagine that we have a body lying here And Michael tries to drag that body.
And Lucifer said, no. This guy is a sinner. You can't take him.
Yes, he's a prophet, but he disobeyed God.
Omowani is our child.
And Satan would drag the leg. And Michael would drag the head. And there was back and forth, back and forth. And I said, ah, what are you people doing there? Since I told you to come and bring these guys, but ah,
I'm gonna fight. They fight too.
Michael, when did you become this kind of person? You know what to do. When there is a contention, you take the battle higher. When serpents are feasting on the feet of the eagle, all the eagle has to do is keep soaring higher. When it gets to a particular altitude, the snakes can't breathe again. They can't breathe. They would die in air. So when the Lord begins to say, make his praises glorious, what he's saying is that raise the standard and begin to lift up glorious praise. Not regular praise. Lift up glorious praise. Take the enemy with you into the atmosphere. The more you feel the pain, begin to praise him. Begin to. This time, we are doing praise vigil. You begin to craft different strategies for prayers. You pray in the morning. Every 3 hours, you start praying. Every 3 hours, start praying. In the office, get up, go into the restroom. Begin to pray. And this time, you don't care where. You speak in tongues. Because this enemy is coming close to you. When you are dealing with forces like Azazel. And with princes that are very strong and older than your generations put together. You have to be ruthless. Your ruthlessness must be seen in your face. You can't pocket your hands and speak in tongues. Because these enemies have sworn that the way they took your father, the way they took your grandfather, they will take you and take your children. I say, God forbid. I said, God forbid. So you are not pocketing. This trousers has no pocket. There are no pockets here. There are no pockets here. He said, give him glorious praise. Give him glory. He said, begin to sing about his name. The moment the battle became a tie, Michael spoke and said, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. I don't know what is in that phrase that made Satan back off. All of a sudden he was demobilized. All of a sudden he couldn't hold on to the body of Moses again. There is something about the name of the Lord which is a strong power that causes the enemy to be demobilized. Lucifer used to and he just picked the body and he walked away. Somebody's going to provoke the name of the Lord this morning. I said somebody's going to provoke the name of the Lord this morning. Come on, shout Jesus. Come on, shout Jesus. Come on, shout Jesus. Come on, shout Jesus. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs in and they are safe. Come on, shout Jesus. Give me the third verse quickly, quickly, quickly. He says, say unto God, listen to me. When the battle becomes too straight for you, don't look at the enemy. Look at God. Start talking to him. Some of you are spending too much time talking to the devil, trying to negotiate. Psalm 66 verse 3 says, say unto God, when you are met with problems and challenges, of whom you cannot even begin to describe. When your friend says to you, what is happening to you? You don't know where to get. You don't know where to start from. He says, say unto God. Turn to him. Say, my God, how terrible art thou. How terrible art your works. For through the greatness of your power. power shall your enemies. Do you know what that scripture is saying? It's saying you are transferring your enemies to God. They now become the enemies of God. Your rejection, your low self-esteem, that pornography addiction, whatever it is you are struggling with, you now call them the enemies of God, so that God can reveal himself in Zion. Are you hearing me? He says, say unto God, how terrible are thy works, are thou in thy works, for through the greatness of your power, thy enemies shall submit. Come and say, submit. I want you to prophesy. Say, submit. Come and say, the enemies shall submit. Come and say, the enemies shall submit. They shall submit themselves. They shall submit themselves. They struggled with you. They contended with you. They held you back for years. They didn't allow you get your admission. You wrote jab and jammed you. Oh, listen to me. They fought your children. They fought your father. But this time around, all of them, they will come and kneel before God. The scripture said they submitted themselves. Come on, say submit. Some of you are still not catching it. He said through the greatness. Listen to me. There are enemies that unless they see the power, unless they see the raw power, they will not submit. They can let you have all the money, but they'll put a sickness in your body. They'll put an infirmity in your body. You can be so qualified, yet they'll be passing over you. Look at those that are being employed. They are not better than you. There is an enemy at the gates, but today, the enemies, through the greatness of his power, they shall submit themselves. I want you to declare submit. In the name of Jesus. You looked into your family. Your father died at 52. Your uncle died at 55. One of your aunts died at 50. There is an enemy at the gates. I said today, this service, the enemies, through the greatness of his power, they shall submit themselves. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Karaba lebo sotaya. Koraba le kanda rabashanda. We reverse the hands of premature death. We reverse the hands of failure at the edge of breakthrough. In the name of Jesus, prophetic people begin to prophesy. Prophetic people begin to prophesy. Ale makura de kaida kasaida. So we come to the sacred place. As we enter the most holy place, so we come to the sacred place. As we enter the most holy place, so we come in the secret place. As we enter
the most holy place,
so we come. As we enter
the most holy place,
we've come to see you.
We've come to see you, Yahweh. We've come to touch you, Yahweh. As we enter.
Jump to verse 7. There are some of you are still booting. You are not seeing it that the plane is about to take off. He said he ruled by his power forever. His eyes behold the nation. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Today the Lord has sent me to the rebellious spirits. To rebellious spirits. Spirits that contend. Spirit that refuse to go back. Spirit that says they will not go back until you are destroyed. Today we have a word from the Lord for them. The word is that God ruled by his power. His eyes are above every nation. Therefore, let the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Begin to prophesy. Let rebellious spirits dwell in a dry land. Spirits of rejection. Ayalima kuradaya. In the name of Jesus, Rabaleka Torah, Zekatayina Bakura de Baya. Aha, Kale Barakataya da Baya, Rabakataya da Nabatakataya da Bazaya, Rabeleke Tekatere de Bosota, Rab Kale Barakat. Sit down for a few minutes, but don't sit on your prophecy. Don't sit on your mouth. If you need to shout, shout. If you need to scream, scream. Don't let anybody hold your tongue. Because today we have come to declare that the rebellious will dwell in a dry land. Something in your life has been feeding the spirit. It may be your carnality. It may be your life of sin. It may be something you have refused to let go. But today, their time is up. Today, the children of God will march forward. And they will march on dry ground. In the name of Jesus. In 1 John chapter 5. And from verse 4. We read that scripture in the first service. For whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. And I took my time to explain to you what the world is. Now, let's take the lower part of that scripture. He said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Alima sopridia sikaya. Even our faith. Oh my God. Oh. Alima sokopariande. The word faith is the word pistis. Have you seen the word pistis around? Pistis. There's a center in Lagos, it's called pistis. The word pistis means faith. Even our faith. It means moral conviction. It means truth. So when you look, as you insert these words into that scripture, he said this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our truth. Are you still here? That means there is a revelation knowledge that must come to me about my victory. Huh, are you here? I said there is a revelation knowledge that will come to you. There are some of you here. After this service, things will begin to happen quickly. Oh, the problem is not that you are not good enough. It's not your age. Listen to me, it's not your age. You have rebellious spirits in front of you. Spirits that don't hear go. Spirits that are very stubborn. When you fast, they will go away. After 3 days, they will show up again. There are spirits that try to threaten the anointing of the man of God. They are very rebellious. But today we came with the word of the Lord. Our God's power is over all the nations. And these rebellious spirits, they will dwell in dry land. These are the spirits that come to women who are expecting their children. They start having negative dreams. They start having terrible dreams. Oh, I will not keep my baby. Oh, something's going to happen. The devil is a liar. This word means truth. It means salvation. Listen to me. There are many things that the Lord by himself has made available. We don't need to do anything about it. The Lord has made them available. The Lord has made them available. But there is a requirement for faith. Unfortunately, faith is not fatal. Faith is not that lady in the choir. You may be named Faith, but you may be faithless. Your name may be Faith, but you don't believe in God. I remember somebody asked an elderly man beside me, he said, "Do you believe you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost?" He said, "If the Lord wills." That's not faith. He thought he was being humble. How do they say? Are you faith? Humility, another side. Faith belongs to one level. Humility, another. Where you need to have faith. If God says, "I have set you as your face like a flint, and I have made you a leader of nations," don't apologize. Yes, don't apologize. When God saw that Abraham was holding back, he changed his name. Can I share? I said, "You are a father of nations. You are going about acting funny." So anywhere you go, when you mention your name, it is prophecy. What's your name? Abraham. Because all the while, always complaining. "I don't have child. The servant in my house will replace me. What is in this life?" He became a poet. God now changed his name. Come on, tell your neighbor, change your name. Change your name. Structure your environment to look like your prophecy. I'm not saying you are there yet. I'm saying that is where God is taking you. The one who showed the vision has the capacity to get you there. I said the one who showed you the vision has the... You may not look like it now, but the devil is a liar. Listen to me. Just by attending one service, something can shift too. I am telling you. Something can shift. You won't even do anything again. They will be the one sending for you. They will suddenly remember you. One of the ways you will know that you are in a Kairos moment is that there will be a book of remembrance. I say one of the ways you will know that you have entered a Kairos moment. The people you are not trying hard to meet, they will say, "Oh, it's been a while. Come around." Say, "Come around. Come around. Come around. Let's talk. That thing we talked about, I'm ready now." They have always been ready. But there were rebellious spirits standing between you and them. But the devil is a liar. They will all dwell in a dry land. I said, those dangerous rebellious spirits, they will dwell in a dry land. But you will begin to make progress. I say you will begin to make progress. I say you will begin to make progress. You are going to take steps of faith. Giant steps of faith. Into your manifestation. You are going to take steps of faith. Into your season of manifestation. You are going to take steps of faith. Into your season of manifestation. You are going to take steps of faith. Into your season of manifestation. You are going to take steps of faith. Into your season of manifestation. You are going to take steps of faith. Into your season of manifestation. You are going to take steps of faith. Keep walking. 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 Ayekabale kotaya kataya. Rabare kataya. In the name of Jesus. Alemara sitaina le kabaya. Even our faith. Please touch your neighbor and say, "Your faith is enough." Your faith in Jesus is enough for you. Now sit down very briefly. Now I want to disabuse your mind, because most times we associate faith with simply agreeing. Do you believe?
Say, yeah. Do you know I can help you say yes?
That is one level. It's the human level. The faith of God is born out of His promise, can be traced to His word without any physical evidence. When the Lord tells you, how many of you still have your grandmothers alive? Wave to me. You have your grandma, one of, they are still alive. Raise your hand. I want to prophesy to your grandmother. God is going to give your grandmother a child at the age of 80. I want to pray. You laughed, Abby. That's the way Sarah laughed. Now some of you say, what's wrong with her? Hey, God was there, she was not sensitive. That's the way you laughed. Now, are you here now? He said, God, you know, I thank you for your good wishes. You know, my husband has actually been praying. You know, he's a prayer warrior. He has been praying for 25 years. He keeps saying, God said, but we did not see anything. I had to help his faith. I brought a guy, because you know, faith without works is dead. God said, this one will not inherit. This one you helped your, this one you helped yourself with. Huh? I will not touch it. The problem was not even how we got the boy. The problem is that he tried to help God. When they were bringing the ark back from the land of Philistines, somebody tried to help God and he died. This year, let us use wisdom. This year, let us use wisdom. It's why God is still folding his hands. Am I saying you should be lazy? No. But you know in your heart when you are trying to help God. So God will take a coffee break and go to China to help those who need it. Because this Abraham wants to test to see. Peradventure in Konyi Wambe, maybe he can still perform. Maybe he can. Do you know after Isaac, he later had children? He had enough. So even if God didn't promise him, all he needed to do was wait for Sarah to die. He will now be telling them stories around the campfire. In 1972, my first wife, she's now history. Then he will now be praying. God bless Isaac. Bless Josephine. God bless Marcus. God bless John. These ones that you have given me. Do you know what happened to those children after, when Abraham was going to die? God told him by instruction. This one, give him this inheritance. This one, give him this land. He gave them money. He settled them. And he sent all of them away. And I left her. He said, this one, my promise is with this one. This is the one I discussed with you. You see these other ones, it is well with their soul. They will succeed, they will be fine. The way some of us are looking for destinies that will be okay, that will be fine. Meanwhile, God made you a promise. Some of you, in your secondary school years, God made you a promise. You had a dream that you discounted because you felt it was too much to be God. It was too much, no, it's my mind. But God knew he made you a promise. I said, God knew he made you a promise. The reason why you are standing, despite fornicating, is because God made you a promise. And God saw that at the age of 56, you outgrew those desires for women. You outgrew those desires for lasciviousness. And you became a warrior in the spirit. So God is willing to wait. God is not patient because he doesn't know what he's doing. He is patient because he has seen you. He saw you become a giant. He saw you become a territorial power. Yeah, people may be looking at you now and they say she's weak. She's nothing. She will not amount to anything. She's not fine. She's a prostitute. But God saw someone that will be a forebear of Jesus Christ. Jericho was coming down. They said, give me this one. What's her name again? Rahab. Give me Rahab. This one is useful for us. She's not good enough for you, but she's good enough for God. Don't let Satan place any burden on your soul. Because some of you, the gateway is being, a siege has been placed around it by Satan because of a sin that you knew you committed deliberately. You knew in your heart, this thing that you did, this pregnancy, this abortion, you did it deliberately and you kept it. It's a secret. Or you told somebody, oh my God, Lord have mercy. Listen to me today. That burden of guilt is taken off your life. Because every time you pray and you meet with resistance, check the heart. There is a key there. There is something Satan is holding on to. Oh, maybe if I had done this, my mother would not have died. Oh, maybe if I had done this, my father would not have died. Oh, maybe if I took an extra step. Oh, maybe because the devil begins to place a lot of guilt. And when there's guilt, it raises doubt and fear and insecurity. And Satan will begin to marshal his forces. You will see people sit in church. They don't even know how to respond. Because if you know what is going on in their mind, they still feel responsible for the death of a small child or somebody in the family. A child dropped from your hands and he broke his leg. You feel guilty. Something happened. You feel, I know what I'm talking about. It was so exciting. But you see, emotion has a way, or overexcitement has a way of dislodging you if you are not careful. Something good happening, the prayer warrior will be the one serving food. That's why you stay, serve people on this side. That's not your job. If they don't know your job, you should not let them define it for you. You are the intercessor. Until we share the final grace at the reception, labors of faith. On that table where you are sitting, right, be scanning the area like a surveillance camera. Call one of your good friends. Come. Sit down. Labors of faith. Pack his food, though. It's not that after prayer, you will not be looking for food, though. Pack his food double. Because it takes energy to pray. Some of you don't know it takes energy to pray. You see someone that I pray for 10 hours. You go and check what he ate after the 10 hours. You want to use Gary to break 10 days fasting. You will have a lot of anointing, but where? Maybe with ulcer. So use wisdom. Tell your neighbor, scan. Scan. Learn how to scan when you pray. It's a prophetic tool. It takes time to master it. To be in a place separate effect all over. You are not looking with these eyes, though, but you are scanning around. If you do it, you will start seeing things. On that seat, listen for the course of rapidly first. Zotayana Rasefan. As he's talking, be writing. Zoprekete Fesotolia. You don't even have any excuse not to write. You have a notepad on your phone. Scan. The next time you go to your father's house, hey, is this where Papa live? Hey, stop it. Scan. Lefrocosopedia. Risefele. Zoprekedia. Scan. Zoprekedia lebasia de la sed. I told somebody, I think they were going to bury their family member in the East. And I told them, don't bury this person in your compound. I told them. I said, don't do it. I didn't even know that it was a thing in the Southeast. I didn't know that. I just said, don't bury this person. And I just gave a prophetic instruction and I told them. It was when we got back, when the people who went got back from the burial, that they told me that, do you know, Pastor, that almost every corner of the compound was a grave. Every corner. This is a compound where people live. This one is a young child. This one, he died at 40. All of them under 8. So now the instruction now makes sense. Because if Satan wants to perpetuate generational curses, he will make you do something that the previous generation did so that you can register your agreement unconsciously. That's how you have to be prophetic. It may look like nothing. Don't be a child. Don't be a child. Don't say she does anything. I will leave her alone. That's what your father did. The only thing that you now, you speak English with your own. Don't do it. You are a child. You are playing with fire. Because the moment you cross that line, you can't redeem it again. Your children will now have to be the ones come down to settle that matter. Meanwhile, your children, they are WhatsApp, they are Canadians, they are America. Because now you don't jackpot. They cannot pray. Who told you depression is not a sign of a generational curse? Who told you that depression is what the doctor tells you it is? Do you know, I was watching a TV broadcast 2 weeks ago, and they interviewed a lot of psychiatrists, and they asked each one of them, how many people have you cured in your practice? He said, I've been a psychiatrist for 35 years, I've not cured anybody. This one, 40 years, I've not cured anybody. This one, 15 years, I've not cured anybody. They asked why, she laughed. She said, our job is not to cure you. Hello? Those are the doctors. If I like that kind of job, since it's already clear that my job is not to cure you, I'll just be a psychiatrist. I'll just say, so what do? They place you on drugs. The problem with the drug is that they become addiction. If you don't use those drugs, you can be stuck on it. You can begin to misbehave. But they opened up. One of them laughed. He said, my job is not to cure you. My job is to give you drugs. Because you will never be cured. When you hear that kind of thing, and then you sit in front of a doctor tomorrow, do you know that you have to be careful how you are hearing that doctor? The Bible says, be careful how you hear. If not, the doctor will tell you, the baby is like this, the baby is like this. Your spirit will become overwhelmed. You won't be able to pray again. You start worrying. The baby is fine, though. But you will start worrying. You'll be imagining vain things. Come on, say, devil is a liar. Come on, say, devil is a liar. Rebellious priests, they will dwell in a strange land. You got carried away. You know, you see me, I always tell you, don't be emotional. Don't be emotional. Emotion is one of the fastest ways Satan can throw you out of the game without sweating. Tell your neighbor, scan. You have to learn how to pray. Those of you who say, I don't know how to pray, you don't know how to scan. That's why you can't pray. In Revelation chapter 12, it said, and they overcame him by what? Verse 11. Are we there? And they overcame him by what? Back up to verse 10. Let me show you something. And they heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. Look at the things that were revealed. When the accuser of the brethren was cast down, that means every time Satan is dislodged from an area. Come on, are you here? Are you still with me? Please don't sit on your mouth. Look at that scripture again. Put up that scripture. He said, now, he said a loud voice. It was a proclamation. He said, now, this is what happens when you gain victory in a particular area. There will be a proclamation in the spirit realm. This one is no more under that siege. That's what happens. But you may not hear. What happens to you is that many times you will receive a song. You will receive a song. All of a sudden, you may notice the next time you go to bed, you will sleep in such. There will be a sign. There will be a sign. You will just know that something has shifted. Sometimes there's no sign, but when you wake up, the air feels fresh. Sometimes you can smell fresh. What do you call those fresh? It's as though you are in a garden with fresh flowers. You can smell oil. You just have a sign like Something happened. Something has happened. So, but in the spirit realm, what was happening is that there was a loud voice. There was a proclamation. Put up that scripture. He said, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God. That's about territory. And the power of his Christ now is come. These four things. Now is come. The moment Michael and his angels defeated the dragon, there was a proclamation. Every time you gain victory, every time you gain victory in the place of prayer, there will be a proclamation announcing that the siege is broken. Oh my God, somebody didn't catch that. I said that the seed is broken. The days where only one person in the family will be doing well, those days are over. Listen to me. Today, some of you will know. I'm going to write it down. Go and write it down. From today, those who have left the country ahead of you will not have any advantage over you. I pray you will know the power of that prayer. I'm talking about the power for those who wait on the Lord. What happens to them? They renew their strength. They renew their strength. They renew their strength. They are like continuously plugged into the mainframe. They are continuously plugged into the hydroelectric dam. The surge of power. Just by staying with Him and singing to Him and worshiping Him and obeying Him. Say they renew. They look at you 1 minute ago, you look tired. They come back 1 minute after. Hey, we thought we got him. This man is ready to go again. I said he's ready to go again. He said they renew their strength. Not just that they mount up. They have the power over the air. They have power over the air. Oh, listen to me. The scripture talks about the prince of the power of the air. But when you wait with the Lord, you take off like an eagle. In the air, you have power over the air. I said you have power over the air. To bring down every lying tongue. To bring down every legislation that has been written against you. To bring down every negative proclamation. I say you are taking off in the air. And you are bringing down every negative word that has been proclaimed against you. In the name of Jesus. 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 He said, for the accuser of our brothers has been cast down. Come on, say cast down. Which accused them before our God. Why do you want to bless her? Pastor said that she read 3 chapters every day. She did not do it. Why do you want to bless her? She cannot take it to simple instruction. She loves her phone. She loves her phone. Her phone is her God. She's too tired to read a chapter, but she can spend 2 hours on Instagram. Why do you want to bless her? They bring accusations. She respects her boss more than her husband. Why do you want to bless her? First to come to church, last to go. Why do you want to bless her? She doesn't care about anyone. They bring accusations. And I hope you know, for those of us that are in law, sometimes, 2 things. Most likely, the things they are accusing you of, you are guilty. On the other side, they can be packaged to make you look like you are guilty. Are you here? Satan can bring up an accusation over something God has already forgiven you about 10 years ago and say she's an adulterer. She aborted. God said, we don't have the record. Say, me, we are, we, I keep record. I know you don't. I have this. Look at it. Open this file, page 10. Satan keeps the record. But God says it blots out. It blots out. Some of you don't know how forgetful God is. You don't know. If you know how forgetful He is, you will not tell that, Baba, I told you yesterday. You better repeat yourself. Someone that said that the things you did yesterday that he doesn't remember. He's not saying it out of encouragement. He doesn't actually remember. He's not trying to encourage you to be righteous. He honestly doesn't remember. You don't get it. Don't, oh goodness, somebody just walked out now. Somebody just stepped out of that bondage. Somebody just stepped out of that guilty conscience. God says He doesn't remember. God says He doesn't remember. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith, our confident trust that when He says He has forgiven, we know He has forgiven. Put up that scripture. Next verse, quickly. And I heard a loud voice. Oh, He said, and they overcame Him. Hold on. Who in this verse is John talking to or talking about? The angels? Seems like the angels to me. Are these the angels? The ones of whom he spoke about in verse 11 that were being accused. Oh, hello. You see, while the devil was busy accusing, the saints did not keep quiet. Are you here? The saints did not keep quiet. Your problem is you sat down for too long and listened to the devil talk to you. Are you here? The ones that were being accused day and night. Satan has time. Oh, you are the one who thinks Satan is not a part-time devil. He knows his job. He knows his job. He is, if he, anything he has to do to bring you down, there's no fair treatment. There's no fair game. The ones that were being accused in verse 11, the scripture says, they overcame him when they were summoned to court. They didn't talk about whether they did it or not. The blood, the covenant. The only thing that God respects, the blood of his son, that makes a man righteous and like Christ. Do you know that you are just like Christ? I'm telling you, you may not believe it. Do you know that if God sees you and Christ now, he doesn't see a difference? I know it's hard for Nigerians to understand this one. I said, let me rephrase for your head to assist you. I said, I hope you people not take this thing for granted. Because you people are looking like you are looking for someone to give you license. I said, when you woke up this morning, and you forgot to pray, and you rushed out, you now remembered on third Milan that you did not pray. If Jesus met you at Obalende and you were standing together and God the Father came, he will not know the difference. He will not know the difference between two of you. I want you to let it sink. Because the reason why many of us are not victorious in prayer is because of the approach we come with. We come as sinners. God does not hear the prayer of sinners. As long as you carry a sin mentality, you cannot prevail, no matter how loud you pray. That's why he said this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, because the ingredient for which a man becomes righteous in Christ is our faith. I know from the way you are looking at it, I know you didn't get it. This is a very hard matter for Africans. The situation is so bad for God that even when you think you are bereft of grace, he says, come boldly. When you think that you have done something that even God should reject you, God says, come boldly. You know why he says you come boldly? I'm the one that can still help you. Crying and feeling bad will not fix it. You and whoever is involved, Eko Rainwa, bring yourself. This is where you will find mercy. This is where the blood of Jesus flows from. Bring yourself. That is why when you are struggling or you are falling into error, God should not be the one to suffer for it. Because he's the one that can help you. He's the one that can forgive you. He's the one that can fix and mend you. So why would you run? If you fornicate tomorrow, come and sit down in front. In those days in our old church, we know those who sin. They go and sit down. They don't want pastor to say, come and do closing prayer. Because in our old church, pastor can call anybody. In those days, if they ask you to take offering, you must pray first. You can't just pray. You can't just take offering. You pray. You take offering. It's not like today that before you take offering, you first appreciate the man of God for giving the opportunity to hold the microphone. Yeah, we don't have time for that one, though. Those are American churches. We don't have time for that one. In those days, let's pray. Father, thank God. Offering time. And we don't need song. The prayer has done the job. So in case you are planning not to give offering, say you saw the way we pray, so yeah, give offering. Your faith is what gives you confident trust to stand before God. Your faith is what gives you confident trust to know that once you step into the battle ring, there's only one victor coming out, and that's you. It is your faith on the revelation of who Jesus is that makes you know that there's no option to righteous living. It is your faith in Christ that knows that anytime you provoke the blood of Jesus, it flows in your direction. I say it flows in your direction. Put up that scripture. Let's round up here. You will show me the pathway of life. You will show me And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now look at the major items in this verse. They became overcomers by the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you, when you are dealing with spiritual warfare, one of the things Satan will try to do is to convince you that you are not the man who should be trying this thing you are doing. If you understand warfare, you will understand what I just said. That many times when you pray, Satan may be giving you this vibe that this thing, this prayer you are doing, you are not qualified. You are too small to be fighting this generational battle. You are too small. You are a small child. That your dad was a pastor. What happened to him? You are a small child. Satan will try to infiltrate your mind and your soul to the point where you begin to look at yourself and you begin to feel you are not enough. Please, can you preach to your neighbor and say you are enough in Christ? So what do I do as an intercessor? When I begin to face serious contentions and I pray in the spirit and I face contentions and I notice that Satan begins to bring some attacks against my mind, against my areas of personal failures, against me in the areas where I did certain things or certain things have happened in the past and there were things I was not proud of, I switch the mode of the prayer and I begin to invoke the blood of Jesus. And I'm doing it with a level of deliberateness. So when I pray, this is why I pray. When I begin to pray in the spirit, I begin to say, Father, I thank you for the mercy that we have received from the blood of Jesus. I thank you because the blood of Jesus takes responsibility and takes away my faults and my failures and my weaknesses and has made me a son in light. You have made me a son, and I have the same status as my Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I appeal to the mercy of the blood of Jesus to carry out his ministry. The Bible speaks about the blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. You see, you begin to use the blood like a master skilled man, like a wordsmith. You begin to use the blood. Don't just plead the blood unintelligently. You need to learn how to use the blood like a skilled carpenter, like someone holding a screwdriver, knowing exactly what he's touching. As I'm doing this, I'm praying in the spirit. And I begin to, once I get to a certain point and I have expressed my desire, I will now move into the express and I begin to invoke the blood of Jesus. Non-stop. Non-stop. I begin to plead the blood of Jesus. Non-stop. I begin to plead the blood of Jesus. Once I get while I am doing that, the reason that for which I came to that prayer mountain, I will hold that thought inside my head. Hello? Are you here? I said I will hold that thought inside my head and I'll begin to plead the blood. Once the thing cracks, I will know. Once there is a sign, I will know. Because My eyes are on that thing. The Bible says no one knows what is in the heart of a man save the spirit of that man, and also no man knows what is in the mind of the spirit or the mind of God except the spirit of God. So it is my job to know what is in my mind and hold it there, and it is the job of the Holy Spirit to also bring the mind of Christ to me. So once the mind of Christ is revealed, it will superintend over the mind that I have. I have this problem. Maybe there's an infirmity in your body. I just hold it before the Lord. And I begin to plead the blood. I will stay there until there's a sign. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So what is this testimony? In relation to the testimony is the word of the Lord. The testimony is the rhema word of God. What God has said to you about that matter. Huh? Are you here now? So sometimes before you enter into warfare, you need to know what God is saying. Hello. Okay, now I'm teaching now. I said before you enter into spiritual warfare, it's better to do some groundwork. And know if this is even a matter the Lord is interested in. Are we together? Don't go into a marriage with a man that has certain problems, hoping you can fix it. Ask the Lord, did you call me to fix this problem? You are now trying to get a man free who has erectile dysfunction after you married him. You are not a doctor. You should have asked the Lord, is this our battle? If this is not your battle, don't get involved. People, including pastors, have been shot spiritual arrow because they got involved with matters for which the Lord did not say, get involved. There were many men who were sick in the days of Paul, whenever Paul was preaching. But there was a day Paul said he saw a particular man and he discerned that the man had faith to be healed. And the man was the only one he healed in that meeting. Every other person, he didn't touch them. So when I come before the Lord, I am holding in my mind that which is before the Lord, which I've put before him. And as I begin to plead the blood of Jesus, I am using the same word of assurance that he gave me. And I bring it together with the blood of the Lamb. As I proclaim, I say, Lord, you told me my son will not die. The boy may be at the hospital. You hold that word of promise. And you say, Lord, this is what you said to me concerning this boy. And you begin to declare it and declare, excuse me, it may not be a 30-minute prayer. It may be 3 hours. It may be 3 hours for 21 days. Don't live here and expect that it might even be 2 minutes. But when you must wait until you get the victory sign. You must wait until there is a clear sign, what we call confirmation in the financial market. There's something we call confirmation. You have to wait for confirmation that the price is going in a particular direction. So leave that one. Are you with me? So you have to wait. Don't just buy when the price is high. Wait for the price to drop. Then you buy. Then you can sell high. I think it's the same thing in the market. These are very important principles. Because in the next few minutes, we are going to begin to pray. And as we begin to pray, I want you to hold that pressing matter. Hold it very strongly in your heart. As we begin to provoke the mercy of God through the blood of Jesus. And as we do so, there will be deliverance. Because on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. And the children of God shall possess. Every time there is deliverance, there will be possessions. I say every time there is deliverance, people will possess their possessions. Do you believe this morning? Rise on your feet. Rise on your feet.